thank you that we have the opportunity to be together as a family in Christ. Thank you that we have it so easy here. Lord, we think of our brothers and sisters in many places that doesn't have this nice warm facility, that doesn't have the nice chairs to sit on, that doesn't have the peace and quiet out there, that have fear of persecution. Lord, we think of those. Lord, and we thank you that we have the opportunity to have it so easy. Lord, but let us not squander this opportunity. Let this be opportunity for us to strengthen our faith and apply the disciplines that you have given us so that we can get stronger and that we can be a light to the nations, that we can be salt for the world. We thank you. We pray that you will bless this word and that you will prepare our hearts as we listen to it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, spiritual disciplines. It sounds like a heavy thing. You can also say holy habits. It's the same thing, just sounds a little bit different. And it's working. Okay, there you are. Spiritual disciplines. That is habits or practices and experiences designed to develop, to grow, and to strengthen your spirit. That is very important that we know that we as humans are also made up of three parts. And these spiritual disciplines, these holy habits, are meant for us to strengthen and to develop, to give us some spiritual muscles. Matthew 5, verse 48 says, "You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." What that means in the Amplified Bible, just to explain it a little bit more, because perfect sounds kind of very challenging and very daunting, but it means that we have to grow into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character, having reached the proper heights of virtue and integrity. So it means it's something that we have to strive for, something that only God is perfect, and we are under construction. We are in the process of growing to be more like Jesus. It's something that we have to strive for and not feel like we cannot do that, because he gave us his Holy Spirit to achieve that in us. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we can see that it's not all up to us. If we try to do it ourselves, it's not going to happen. But we must be part of the process. We cannot just be passive. Bringing us back to the walk of a Christian is not sitting in the benches, being out on the field, being able to use the muscles. Otherwise, the knees would become weak and the hands would become floppy. And that is not what Jesus can use in his kingdom. So, as we said, we do consist of three parts: the body, the soul, and the spirit. And for me, that was for a long time a difficult concept. I didn't really understand that so well. So I've been, in preparing this message, I've been looking at what Pastor Gary Hamrick from Cornerstone has said, and that is really, he's a very good teacher. If you want to find something on the internet that is solid teaching, he's got good teaching that you can follow. So what does that mean? Well, the body is our physical part that we can see here. The soul consists of three or four things. The will, that means what I want. The intellect is what I think. And the emotions is what I feel. The conscience, in some people add the conscience with that. Some people just add the first three. This morning in the breaking of bread, we sang the song, May It Be Well With My Soul. Because we talked about fear and how fear affects each and every one of us in this world. And we can see that that is the soul. The soul is the will, the intellect, the emotions. That is the stuff that gets affected by things around us. But the spirit is immortal. That is that what God has given us, and that is the one that will stay forever. Now, if you combine all those things of the soul, it actually makes up your personality. So when you die, the body dies, the soul dies. I mean, if you see somebody, if you've had the opportunity or have stood next to somebody that died, it's really not him or her sometimes you feel. It's just nothing there. Because the personality makes up. That is what makes you. Your soul is also dead. But the spirit is not dead. It said that the spirit, when you die, goes to hell. The people, the hell down to, if we look at what they say, is that your spirit goes, hell consists of paradise and hell. That is where, in the old days, that is where, before Jesus came, that is where the spirits went. But when Jesus came, he actually came and he went down into the belly of the earth. He went down to hell. And that sometimes you wonder, why did he go to hell? Doesn't make sense. He had 3 days where he actually went and took the spirits of the God-fearing people. And in Ephesians 4, it says, "In left captives in his trail." He took those spirits of the God-loving people, took them to heaven. So when you and I die, we go directly to heaven to be reunited with our bodies when the rapture comes. So that is very important to have that distinction. And for me, that was for a long time not really something I could wrap my mind around. But that gives you the knowledge that we do have a spirit that's immortal. And if your spirit is immortal in hell, that's going to be immortal in hell. So it's very important that we know where we are going. So we are spending the month of January in prayer and fasting. So we are going to look at those three disciplines. There are more, but the three that is in Matthew 6, verse 1 to 6 and 16 to 18. Now Jared is going to talk about prayer next week, so it overflows a little bit with that. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible, so it's a little bit different. So, Matthew 6, verse 1. Take care not to do your good deeds publicly or before men, in order to be seen by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, whenever you go to the poor, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites in the synagogues and in the streets like to do, that they may be recognized and honored and praised by men. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward in full already. But when you give to charity, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your deeds of charity may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Also, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward in full already. But when you pray, go into your most private room, and closing the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you in open. Verse 16. And whenever you are fasting, do not look gloomy and sour and dreary like the hypocrites, for they put on a dismal countenance that their fasting may be apparent to and seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have the reward in full already. But when you fast, perfume your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may not be noticed by men, but by your Father who sees in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. So we see that the three disciplines that they talk about here, that Jesus talk about, is giving, praying, and fasting. Now, we will not go into detail with praying because Jared will talk about that. We'll just touch on giving because most of us know about giving, and we will also then more concentrate on fasting because that's kind of a discipline that we've been avoiding, most of us, I think, if you were like me, trying to, you know, ignore that part a little bit because it does have some things to say to us. So the three truths that we get out of these passage is that Jesus assumes we will be doing it. He also says it should be done discreetly, and he says it will be rewarded. So those are the three truths that we know that we can hang on to. So, Jesus assumes we will be doing it because he says in verse 2, whenever you give to the poor. So it's not if you give to the poor, it's whenever you give to the poor. Same with praying, when you pray. And in verse 16, whenever you fast, whenever you are fasting. So that is something that's on the same level as praying and giving. We cannot ignore that part. Secondly, it should be done discreetly. Giving so that your deeds of charity may be in secret. Because we know that the other way the reward is already being given, and we'll see later on. Praying, in verse 6, but when you pray, go into your most private room. Now, Jesus doesn't say you shouldn't be praying aloud or corporate prayer, but he says that when you really want to draw near to God, that is very important, to go privately and not stand on the corners of the street and be praying there so that other people can see you. And then fasting, whenever you fast, also go into your inner room and fast there. Don't look like you're fasting and you're putting on this sour face and, oh, I'm suffering so much. And people say, oh, you're such a good Christian that you're fasting. Very good, very good. So, the third part of it is rewarded. It will be rewarded by the Lord. Your giving, in verse 4, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Praying, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. And fasting, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. Now, these rewards are not necessarily going to happen in this lifetime. We know that part of rewards for us as followers of Jesus, we know that once you've said yes to him and you've accepted him as your Savior, you are going to go to the mansion which he's preparing for you. You cannot lose your salvation unless you throw it back at him. We know sometimes people slide back and they don't really get committed and they're not really giving their life the way it should be, but you are still saved. But the rewards, that's a different story. So if you do, with these good seed, bring forth the fruit that has been sown in you, then you will have rewards. And it's better not to have it in this lifetime, because it's not so good. The lifetime to come, the millennial kingdom of God, that 1,000 years, that's where you want to have those rewards paid out. So we are going to have rewards, no matter where. Better if it's in the millennial kingdom. So, like I said, we'll not talk about the praying. We will leave that for Jared. The charitable giving. Now, giving is a few things, not only putting your money down. Giving is a few things. It means giving your time. There are people we are lucky we have got a lot of volunteers in this church, and we depend upon volunteers to really get our ministries going and support these ministries. So a lot of people, you don't even always know them, they put their time in different ways. They come and make this, shovel the sidewalk, make sure that this parking lot is ice-free. You don't know who does that, but there are people here that does it. Doesn't happen. The town of Westlock doesn't come and do that for us. It's people here that do it. So they put in their time, and that is time not only for the poor and the needy, but time that you put in to help and bless your brothers and sisters in Christ. Love, you know, love is a given. We have to give love. It's sometimes difficult to love people, especially in these days when people can be so obstinate and very difficult. But that is why if you do it out of our own strength, we'll not be able to do that. You need the Spirit of Jesus in you to love people that doesn't love you back. Worship not only here. When we are here and we worship, it's important that we know these guys that come here and they give us music. Music is kind of part of life. I mean, it's going to be in heaven as well. So they prepare to give us music that we can actually come closer to in the Spirit. And it's important that when we come here, we have to kind of sing. We have to kind of take part in this. Otherwise, why do we do that? It's important. We can't be just standing here and doing nothing. And, you know, I'm not one of the best singers myself, but that is important to allow the worship time to bring you closer. That is why the music is here. It's time to give. We have to give that. Otherwise, people walk in here and they see you're standing with a sour face here and you're singing, or you're not singing at all. You'd say, oh, I wonder why these guys are actually here. So I might be saying stuff here that is contentious, but, you know, the world is, our situation is moving towards one way, not up for the world, but down. And we need to be either on the bus or off the bus. You have to choose. It's going to be more, the more we're going to go in this world, the more the difference between Christians and non-Christians is going to be apparent. And we have to be able to show that. That is why he's given us not a spirit of fearfulness, but a spirit of strength. And then money, lastly, I mean, it is, money makes the world go round, so there is stuff has to be paid, lights and you know, chairs and ministries have to be prepared, missionaries, like we heard, we send money to the missionaries, so they can do those things in Poland. So money is an important part as well to give. So giving is a basic thing that we as Christians do. But then we come to biblical fasting, which is kind of the elephant in the room. And I think we have to kind of look at that. And last year we actually started doing that as a family. Daniel was in Alabama, and there he went to the Church of the Islands, also a very good online church that you can follow. So he's been watching that a lot, and we watched that a few times, and they've got this first 3 weeks in January, they've got fasting. And we will see what fasting is all about, but that we've started to doing that, and that is really a blessing. So I hope that when we finish today, we will be able to see fasting in a way that we can do that. It's not such a huge mountain to climb. So what is fasting? Biblical fasting is voluntarily abstinence from food for a limited period of time for the purpose of drawing near to God. So it's important that when we do fasting, and it's we can see that there, later on you'll see that there's a few other ways of fasting as well, but when we fast, the reason for that is that you draw closer to God, not just to punish yourself. It is to humble yourself because, face it, our world evolves around food, you know, breakfast, dinner, lunch. It is those kind of things. That is how we make time up as well. You know, food is a central part of life. So by not breaking that circuit, then you start okay, I'm feeling the hunger pains. Why am I doing this? Okay, I know why I'm doing it. I'm considering God. I want to draw near to God. So that's why we fast. It is not required. You're not going to go to hell if you don't fast. But it's expected, as we saw. Whenever we fast, that is what Jesus said. It's going to happen. You should fast. And as an entity, it is mentioned 77 times in the Bible. So it's mentioned quite a lot, even though we don't always see that. Matthew 9, verse 14 to 15 says, Jesus, the disciples of John came to Jesus inquiring, why is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus replied to them, can the wedding guests mourn while the bridegroom is still with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. So he knows that fasting will be part and parcel of your Christian walk. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves or fast and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So let us read Isaiah 58, verse 5 to 12. Is such a fast as yours what I have chosen? So here it is where Isaiah says to the Israelites who were fasting, but they were not really fasting it the right way. And what they were fasting as a ritual, not as a deep-seated belief to draw near to God. Is such a fast as yours what I have chosen, a day for a man to humble himself with sorrow in his soul? Is true fasting merely mechanical? Is it only to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him, to indicate a condition of heart that he does not have? Will you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Rather, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every enslaving yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from the needs of your own flesh and blood, then shall your light break forth like the morning, and your healing, your restoration, and the power of a new life shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you, conducting you to peace and prosperity, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away from your midst yokes of oppression, wherever you find them, the finger pointed in scorn towards the oppressed or the godly, and every form of false, harsh, unjust and wicked speaking, and if you pour out that with which you sustain your own life for the hungry and satisfy the need of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in darkness, and your obscurity and gloom become like the noonday. And the Lord shall guide you continually and satisfy you in drought and in dry places and make strong your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of buildings that have laid waste for many generations, and you shall be called repairer of the breach, restorer of streets to dwell in. So, why should we fast? What is the reasons to fast? First of all, it is to repent. Nehemiah 9, verse 1 to 2 says, the Israelites were assembled with fasting and in sackcloth and with earth upon their heads. And the Israelites separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. So that was when Nehemiah was going back to Jerusalem to build the city or the temple, and he was given the opportunity by the king to go. But then he was like, the travel that they had to do was kind of through very dangerous areas. And he actually said in the He actually said that he's ashamed to ask the king to send an army with him so that they can protect. And that is very important to know, that he was relying on God. And that is to repent. You have to repent your iniquities. And that is what the Israelites did before they went to travel to go back to Jerusalem. The second reason to fast is to mourn or to grieve. We know the story about Jonah and Nineveh. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them, because they heard the judgment, and they mourned and grieved because what has happened. So, repenting and to mourn and to grieve. Third one is to intercede for others. Look at Esther, when that order was given that the Jews would be slaughtered, and she had to go to the king Ahasuerus to address him, and if she went there without being invited, she could be killed. So she asked that, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me, and neither eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. So that was that they interceded for her so that she would be safe to address the king, so that she can come before him and tell about the thing that has been done by Naaman. The fourth thing is to break chains of bondage. And we have read Isaiah 58. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that every yoke be broken? So if there are bondages, if there are things that hold us back or family members, that is one of the things, to fast, to break chains of bondage. And then here is the part that Nehemiah was saying about to petition God and seek answers. In Ezra 28, verse 21, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we may humble ourselves before our God, to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and our possessions. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayers. So they fasted for protection, to seek God and to ask for answers. And then the last one, to appoint leaders. Acts 14. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So we can see there are six reasons for us to fast. And that's quite a lot. And I'm pretty sure a lot of these things, not all of them, but some of these things does come in our everyday in life. And that is where fasting is a very powerful tool that we can use. So, what kind of fastings do we have? Now, originally, the biblical way was the complete fast, liquids only. So, that is where you don't eat anything, you just drink liquids. Then there's the selective fast, as Daniel did. He abstained from certain foods. His first fast, he only had vegetables and water. And his second fast, he didn't take any meat or wine or rich foods. So you can see that there is kind of options out there. The third one is time period fast. So it's not, you know, that's part of these things that you cannot necessarily fast for a week. You are somebody that works hard. You need some energy. You cannot go without food. So you don't have to go for a week. You can do a part of a day. You can do a full day. You can do just things that can fit in with your schedule Because our schedule is part of our schedule. We cannot go past that. But it's important to know why we're doing these things are to draw nearer to God. And that effort, God will bless. He will reward us. And then there's soul fast. Well, that was kind of things as times change. These things get added to it. And I think it's not necessarily very biblical to say a soul fast because social media was not part of their life. But the reason why this is something that makes sense is that social media takes up a lot of our time. That is a fact. All of us are affected by that, some more than others. And if you abstain from social media for a day or a week or a month, that would be hard. And that is not what that gives you. It frees up your time to spend it with God. And that is the reasoning behind it. If you do all these things in acceptable percentages, then obviously it's not going to overpower your life. But unfortunately, we are prone to have things just take over our life. So that's why it's important to really draw back. Look at the things that is taking hold of your life, and that's taking it away from your time with God. Because those are the important things. Those are the things that are going to last. What you do with your spiritual life is what's going to last. All these things that we are so busy with and accumulating is going to be left behind when we are gone. And what good is that then? So, there was this story, I'm just closing with a story that about this First Nations chief that was the missionary led him to the Lord, and he accepted him. And the missionary, after a while, saw that the man is kind of having trouble. And he asked him, "So, what is wrong? You know, you've accepted Jesus, but I see you're struggling." He said, "Yes, it is very difficult. He feels that there's two dogs in his life. And they're fighting. And he's got the dark dog, the black dog that wants him to do evil, and the white dog that wants him to do good." So the missionary said to him, so who wins? And he said, "The one I feed." And that is what it's all about. What do we feed in our life? You know, when whatever we starve dies, and whatever we feed thrives. And I think we have to realize that in this day and age, we have to come to a point where we have to choose. We have to put our money where our mouth is and not just go through the motions. This is where it's important for us to choose. We have to choose what we're going to feed. We have to choose what we're going to put our time and our effort, our money, our resources in. Because that is the stuff that's going to last forever. And those are the rewards that we're going to get. Lord, we thank you that you have spoken to us, and we know that we all fall short in many ways. So Lord, we pray that you will help us through your Spirit to lead us in changing our ways for the better, that we give to you the time that you deserve. Lord, you have given us a new life. The old things have passed away. We know that we are still in this world, and we are open, and we are part of the world. But Lord, let us be aware of what we have in us, a huge treasure. Lord, and that we hold on to this treasure, and that we spend the appropriate time and effort to show what is the most important in our lives. We cannot serve two masters. We have to serve only one master. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jan. Gives us a lot to think about. Would you stand for the last song, please?
Today, I choose.